Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, please feel free to write to me at bonkay@aol.com. That's B-O-N-K-A-Y-E at AOL.com. Before I introduce my guest Megan for tonight, I just wanted to mention that I'm having a guest next week, Marianne Glynn, who hasn't done my show for a few years, but Marianne's really amazing. She's a therapist who works with people who have post-traumatic stress disorder. So we're going to talk about how these marriages give you that when you come out of an abusive situation, and ways that you can work to kind of channel it in other directions so you don't feel that panic and that sense of fear that comes over you when you go through these marriages. So that'll be next Sunday. Marianne Glynn will be joining me. For tonight, I'd like to welcome back my friend Megan. Megan, welcome back.
Thank you, Bonnie. It's nice to be back.
How are things in sunny California?
Oh, they're always good here. The weather is always nice and sunny and puts you in a pretty good mood, so I'm not complaining.
Well, I heard it's not always in the best mood. I heard you had some bad rainstorms last week. Is that true?
Yeah, in parts of the state, yeah. But Palm Springs is actually, it's pretty nice, and it's still warm out here, and we're escaping some of that torrential rain that I know you're getting back east and in other parts of the country, so.
Yes, it's been a very scary year weather-wise.
Absolutely.
For sure. So last weekend was a very memorable weekend. I just want to mention it because we had our healing weekend. And although every one of them has always been wonderful, it always seems like they get better and better, It was a wonderful combination of people who had been there before, who are veterans of gay marriages, straight gay marriages, and some new people who are part of our support network who haven't really met any other women who have had gay husbands. And it's always wonderful to be in a room, you know, 15, 16 people who have the same experience that you've had, because so many times the feeling that people say when you go through these marriages that we all have in common is that they are isolating. Would you say that's true?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's hard to describe. I mean, you know, it's a unique situation to be in marriage with, you know, a gay guy. I mean, the betrayal in itself, but it's also the, you know, it's just, it's hard to really grasp, you know, grasp it. And I still, you know, after being married 20 years, it was really the last thing I expected. And, you know, not only is your marriage completely over, but it's, you know, the feelings that, you know, this is someone that you thought you were married to, but he's wholly chosen an alternative lifestyle and really had no interest in being married to a woman to begin with, you know, but was able to feign and pretend 20 years and have a family, and it was all a cover-up. And it is a very isolating, lonely feeling. Absolutely.
I think one of the common threads of these marriages, and you can tell me if you agree or not, it's isolating, but I think they're debilitating also, because you don't know what you're dealing with. And mm-hmm. what seemed so wonderful when you got married has changed so much, and you can't figure out why. And right. you internalize it, because your husband, who's supposed to love you, you know, till death do you part, and take, you know, care of your emotional needs and be a partner with you, doesn't want to bother with you. I mean, this is a man who promised to love you, to cherish you, to take good care of you. And yet, you know, it was really amazing that when you got into the marriage, it's a whole new story, right?
Right. Well, I think absolutely. And there's a lot of anger and resentment on their part because, you know, I think when they came to come to terms with the fact that they don't want to be in the marriage and that they'd rather be in a relationship with someone of the same sex, you know, they're angry with you, angry with their spouse for, you know, for being in their life, and they don't know how to get out of it, and they're stuck. And, you know, the only way I think that they, I mean, at least in my situation, was he was angry and he resented me and he was bitter towards me because I was one of the lucky people that was able to kind of figure it out on my own from something that I found. And, you know, he hated me for it because I think they hate themselves for what they're doing, but they're too cowardly to come to terms with it and to identify with what they really want in their life, you know? And, you know,
I feel that they also blame us. They blame us for their unhappiness. And that's
absolutely.
So ironic, because they're the ones who chose to marry us. Most of them pursued us. Most of them, you know, wanted to marry us. Not like we were running after them. I mean, maybe a few people did, but most people, you know, the men pursued them. And I always
right.
do say, I think there were good intentions there in most of these guys. They just didn't,
right.
they were screwed up. They didn't know what they were.
Right.
And I always said it'd be
right.
wonderful if people were born with a G on their foot, at the bottom of the foot, of course, so that they would know as they're growing up, this is what my destiny is. But unfortunately,
right.
that's not how it works. And I do believe that different men at different points of time start those urges at different ages. And
right.
that being said, I can understand why they're confused if they can fall in love with a good woman and if they can perform sexually, even if it's not great, but they're able to perform to some degree, that they're hoping against hope that those feelings and those attractions are just going to go away. So
right.
I do understand that, but here's what I disagree with. I feel like if they would tell us ahead of time, look, there may be a problem because I do have attraction to men, then even then we have a better chance than if they don't tell us anything. And once they realize that this is what they are, then they need to tell us instead of waiting another 10, 15, 20 years while cheating on us, bringing home diseases. I mean, such terrible things that they do. So I always tell men,
right.
you don't have a choice in being gay, but you do have a choice in being honest and telling your
Absolutely.
Wife about it instead of blaming her for the problems in the marriage. So did that happen
right.
in your marriage with your husband blaming
yes.
you?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think, you know, he was married before. He had been married. I had been married before. And then we got remarried. We had a blended family. You know, we had kids together. We had our own, each had our own child, and we had a child together. And I think he was fooling himself, you know, and we were married for 20 years. And I don't know. And that's the part that's puzzling. It's like, when do you finally come to terms with your sexuality? I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with people being gay, but they should come to terms with it way before they decide to get married and have a family. And, you know,
unfortunately, they're fighting it.
You know, I mean, is it like just all of a sudden you know, from when you go to the gym and you see some guy that you're attracted to, and I don't understand what really triggers it, or is this, are you in turmoil for your whole life trying to come to terms with it? You know, and I think something in my situation, I think that really triggered it was his father, who was a very Italian macho, you know, domineering kind of a person who he worked with for 35 years. When he passed away, I think that's when he was able to let go and come to terms with his sexuality and come out of the closet. That was, you know,
to be honest with you, you were right on two-thirds of that. The one-third mm-hmm. you weren't right about is come to terms with it. He came to terms with it long ago. He was just a coward mm-hmm. and couldn't come to terms with his father. Sure. And we brought that up in our meeting last week, in our healing weekend. We were saying, at what point do these things happen? And there's always, you know, throughout my time of doing this with 100,000, over 125,000 women, there's a pattern that they do it when their fathers die. You mm-hmm. know, they know what they are. You know, they keep it contained till then because of the pressures of religion, culture, you know, and just expectations growing up. And the fact that even today where homosexuality is so much more accepted in certain places than it used to be in the past, it's not as accepted as, you know, it needs to be for people to feel totally free to be gay. But I do mm-hmm. believe that these men, for the most part, they were confused too, because they were also taught, like we were taught, that a gay man is someone who's attracted to another man. So mm-hmm. if they could fall for us and love us, even though it's not the right kind of love, it's, you know, love of a gay man is like loving your sister, not like being in love with someone. But even if they can, you know, be passionate with us, or they could have sex with us in their 20s and even maybe their 30s, by the time they're in their 40s, maybe that's another reason they're coming more to terms with themselves, because it's not functioning anymore. Most mm-hmm. gay men are not able to have an erection with a straight woman by the time they hit their 40s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that might be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How was your sex life?
Well, I mean, he came out of the closet when he was late 50s, and mm-hmm. and you know which I think is kind of late in life, as I said. I mean, to come out when you're close to 60 years old and find yourself and decide that you would rather be with men than women seems a little bit late in life. But I had no suspicion until I figured it out on my own through a thing on his phone, and mm-hmm. it was total surprise.
Right, but that doesn't mean he wasn't having relationships before you found him.
That's
you true. Know he could be having yeah. relationships in his 30s, 40s, and 50s, and chance before he probably
exactly.
was.
You're probably right about that. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean that's. Yeah. Relationships, but just sex. You know, it's funny,
right.
we were talking about so many times when women would say, there's no way my husband could be gay. I know where he is 24 hours a day, that how naive mm-hmm. that is. And I brought up, you know, the book written by Jim McGreevy, who used to be the governor of New Jersey,
right.
and who had to resign. And he's my hero. He really is, because of the fact
mm-hmm.
that he wrote a book and he told everything. But most
right.
importantly, a couple of the points that he told is, one, he was having sex in the back of a synagogue. He was having
mm-hmm.
sex in the back of a dumpster. I mean, he was
mm-hmm.
having sex everywhere, and it only takes 30 seconds. I don't know why women think their husbands. I mean, when we had our meeting, we talked about men who were having sex in Macy's, you know, dressing room.
Right.
Or
right.
you go to a restaurant, and the man says, I'm going out to have, you know, to go to the bathroom, and he's meeting a guy there that he met on Grindr. They have sex
right.
for a minute, and then he's back at the table
right.
with the family.
Absolutely. And the gym is always a big, you know, big place to meet up. It's always at the gym working out and, you know, sauna Sundays and all that. It's exactly.
That's so true. Yeah. And, you know, I was so naive when I was younger. And I used to think, well, they're not going to the, well, is it, why aren't they going to the gay gym? Because they have better pickup men at the straight gym. It took me a while to learn that one. My ex-husband was always going to the gym, always looking for guys there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Always at the gym.
It doesn't have to be the gay gym. It's the straight gym where they're looking for guys and picking them up.
Right.
So I'd want to know your opinion. There was an article that one of the women in my group posted. I saw it on the news also this week. And it's called, Yes, My Husband Is Gay, But That Hasn't Stopped the Sparks Between Us. And I know this is going to be one of our future members of the group, but for now, she said, we met at church. It's a cliche, but it's true. I noticed Matthew on my first Sunday in the congregation. He sticks out not because of his height, but also because of his curly hair, infectious smile, and exuberance for life. After several weeks of seeing him across the chapel and successfully avoiding him, he looked like a player, and I don't do drama. He came over to talk to me while I was walking out to my car. Inwardly, I sighed and resigned myself to what I thought would be a vapid conversation centering on working out as a hobby or other abhorrent small talk. I'm not sure how, but we started talking about books. In that short conversation, I learned we both love books, care a lot about gender and racial equality, and enjoy getting to know each other more. He asked my phone number, I gave it, and we parted ways. Our first date was a complete and utter failure. It was supposed to be a group hangout, but because of a miscommunication on place and time, it ended up being myself, Matthew, and one of his best friends, a girl who apparently had dibs on Matthew. So there we were at the movies, me, him, and his best friend, who was in love with him. From the moment we got on the car, the friend monopolized the conversation, talking about inside jokes and people only they knew. At the movie, she hurriedly sat between us and only turned towards Matthew, talking about previews and making comments about the movie. About halfway through the movie, she turned to me and said, wasn't that so funny? Okay, I get your message. Matthew is mine. Back off, if you please. I dropped her and Matthew off and decided it was over with him. No drama. Several days passed, and because our short conversation at church had included some nerding about Harry Potter, I forwarded him a joke on one of my brothers that sent me. Matthew then called me and asked if I would hang out with him, with just him. We went on an only Matthew and Bryn date to the Japanese Friendship Gardens. It was like magic. We talked and talked, and he wove us beautiful crowns out of some pruned cherry blossom branches. Our next date was a nighttime stroll that ended up being a five-mile hike through the pitch dark of Papango Park. It occurred to me as I followed him semi-blindly over rocks and around cactuses that he could, after all, be a psycho about to murder me. Thankfully, that was not the case, and that night we made back to my apartment. We chatted on the couch for a while. We talked and talked, and it seemed like he had something on his mind that he wanted to tell me. When he said, I'm gay, I wasn't entirely surprised, but I also really didn't care. If he was choosing to spend time with me, then why would his sexual orientation matter? He was choosing to spend time with me. It never occurred to me to feel threatened by his sexual orientation. We dated over the next few months, during which time everything was heightened. I remembered the weather in the Friendship Gardens, what I wore when I went to the movies, the taste of salsa we made together, or the evenings he would bike after work. When he abruptly broke up with me, I felt empty and shattered. I'd never before connected with anyone the way I had with Matthew. Somehow, he just got me. In the months we were apart, I dated an old college boyfriend and then went back to another on-again, off-again relationship. We chatted a few times. He was a dating a man, but his family and friends disapproved. His dating a man was, if anything, a positive for me. I knew Matthew, and I loved him as a friend and a human, and I wanted him to have a fulfilling life, even if that meant being with someone who didn't fit into our religious lifestyle. We exchanged a few texts over the summer, and he agreed to babysit my cat while I was in Spain, but we both seemed to have moved on. A few months later, the apartment I wanted became available, and with my busy schedule, I needed to get the move done quickly. I texted Matthew and a couple of other people, including my boyfriend, for help. When Matthew and I saw each other again, it was like sparks, fireworks, an explosion. Our eyes met and we saw each other. I was mad at the boxes, the things to move. I just wanted to spend more time with him. I felt the same energy from him. It was a strange saying goodnight and watching him leave. After he was gone, my boyfriend asked me why I wasn't with Matthew, because he seemed like a perfect fit. Although I have felt what was between us, I didn't let myself think it could happen. Matthew had said no, and that was that. After the move, Matthew broached the subject of getting back together, but I didn't take it very seriously. He had broken up with me once. I didn't need to go through that again. The sparks I felt a couple days later, Matthew came over and we made dinner together. We were making a recipe that called for caramelizing brown sugar and adding vinegar. We did it wrong and turned the whole thing into a crystallized mess, so he called his mom on the speakerphone to ask for instructions. His mom, not knowing I was standing there, said, "So has Bryn broken up with her boyfriend yet?" That was the encouragement and validation I needed to get back together with Matthew. If he had spoken to his mom about me, then it must be serious. A little while later, we made a short drive to Rocky Point, Mexico with a mutual friend. We ate string beans out of Tupperware, got incredibly lost, and slipped out on the roof. We simply enjoyed each other's company. When we got back, we went on our second first date together. That night felt like the entire universe was aligning. Our love for each other was palpable, tangible, touchable. We knew. On Facebook, Matthew sent me an ad for really cheap tickets to Sweden. We booked tickets to go together, and she goes on and on. So she said, because of our religious beliefs, there was a limit to our intimacy before marriage. Matthew told me he wasn't sure whether or not he would enjoy having sex with a woman. But we knew we were attracted to each other in many non-sexual ways, mutual obsession with books, traveling. We hoped that even if sex wasn't the strongest part of our relationship, it wouldn't be the worst part either. Almost 4 years now, we're both encouraged in our trajectory. This does not mean that many tears have not been shed. It doesn't mean that both Matthew and I have not spent considerable time wondering whether or not we're going to make it, whether or not meets each other's needs. And this certainly doesn't mean that we recommend mixed orientation marriages for others. With the help of therapists, our mixed orientation marriage works for us, but that does not mean it can work for others. Sometimes, because my past relationships are often centered around physical desire, and because Matthew's sexuality isn't completely linear, I'm uncertain and feel insecure in our marriage. And then she goes on to talk about, you know, how they're surviving it. But, you know, first of all, you know, she's beautiful, he's beautiful, they're young. I mean, he was honest with her. So I don't think she really understands the implications here. And I don't really think it's going to work, but, you know, that's me. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a little bit delusional on her part to think that she's going to, you know, change him. I think, you know, like you mentioned, I don't know how old they are, but, you know, she's young. She's probably looking to this as almost a challenge to some extent, you know, and not looking to the long-term effect, you know, what about if she gets married and she wants to have a family? And you know, I just think it's, once again, it's a little bit, you know, it seems like she's just trying to change him, and, you know, she's a little delusional. She's challenged by the whole idea. She's attracted to him. I mean, listen, you know, gay guys are normally very attractive, and they could be, you know, very good at cooking and very good at certain things that, you know, I mean, sounds like she had a boyfriend who, you know, was probably wondering what was going on at the time, and, you know, I think, I don't know, I don't want to make judgment calls, but it's a very interesting article. It's intriguing that, you know, that she's fascinated by this man. But I think it's, you know, as I said, I think it's a little delusional, and it's a little bit of a dead end for her, you know, unfortunately. And
yeah,
I think she's
I
only going to get her.
She said over time, Matthew, she says, over time, Matthew has identified as gay, bi, and pansexual. I identify as heterosexual, but I'm coming to understand that being heterosexual doesn't mean you're attracted to all men or to all women, simply that most or all of the genders that you tend to be attracted to are men or women. Sexuality isn't necessarily binary. I believe it isn't that cut and dry. How could it be when nothing else is? There's a serious need for openness around the issue based on the number of suicides among LGBTQIA and youth. We aren't even talking about a need to be. So the thing is that I think where she's wrong, that heterosexual does mean you are only attracted to men or to women if you're a man or a woman. But I just feel it's so naive on her part, like you're saying, that he or she thinks that he doesn't have to act out on his sexuality, that they can have, you know, they can just have a happy marriage. And they're young. I guess they're in their late 20s. But I can really see them moving in a very different direction in the next 10 years.
Right.
And they have two children now. Now they have two girls, one and two.
Oh, they do have children. Well, that's my next question. You know, and how do they explain that to the children? I mean, you know, do they say, your father is gay, but he's married to me and I'm in love with him? I mean, you know, it's there's so many questions I have because, you know, yes, it's not always cut and dry. Life is not cut and dry. But I do have to say, I think sexuality, in my opinion, is pretty cut and dry. It's like anything goes. And the thing that I personally have a problem with is like, and I've said this before, is that, you know, the LGBTQ community, they have all the support they need. They have the meetup groups. They have the parades. They have the support. They have the Facebook. They have everything. And, you know, well, where is our support? And you know, it's, you know, personally, it's very hard to even meet a straight man these days. But it's easy to go out and go to gay bars for all these people. So, I don't know. That's, you know, I mean, I feel like to some extent it almost sounds like, and maybe I'm wrong, like her tone is almost like, well, I kind of feel sorry. You know, I don't know if she feels sorry for him, but she's like, well, you know, I have to accept this because this is the way it is. But then again, you know, maybe she doesn't know who
you know
she's all about.
It is the way it is. It is the way it is. But guess what? It's not going to be that way forever.
Exactly.
You and I know that, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I'd like to hear what happens in 10 years from now.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's not going to take 10 years till he finds somebody.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
I mean, the fact that he was honest and he said he's homosexual means he's going to have to suppress his sexual needs, you know, in the future, which I don't think is going to happen. And the fact that he's such a good-looking guy, as she claims, I don't think so. But okay, not my type.
And then he's going to get angry, and then he's going to resent her for holding him back, and then one thing is going to lead to another. It's the same story. It's a downward.
I'm telling you, another 10 years, she'll be part of this group.
I agree. Yep.
And people will be saying to her, well, but he told you, and didn't you know? But that's my whole point. Even if we said this also as a meaning, even if we would have been told that our husbands were gay, it probably wouldn't have made a difference. We probably would have married them anyway because we did not understand gay. We thought that gay may have been a passing phase for someone, like you were saying, that, you know, maybe he was gay when he was younger. When did it become defined? You know, if they're leading a life that's straight, I was confused. I really was. I didn't think my ex-husband was gay, but I thought he could have been what they called bisexual back then because somebody hit me off and said he's bisexual. And I thought bisexual meant you have a choice. If you're bisexual, you can either go for men or you can go for women. So I thought if he really loved me, then I don't have to worry about it because he's going to go for me because we didn't understand homosexuality, and I don't think it's any different today. When I read an article like this, and it's 2021, and some woman's marrying a gay guy and saying it's fine because, you know, he's not going to act on it or I can be liberal in my thinking, whatever, I think that she's being very naive and that she's totally unrealistic because he is going to be acting on it. You can be sure.
Right. Absolutely.
I don't know too many men who tell you that they're gay who don't act on it.
Right. No, I agree.
Right.
And once if they're going to try to suppress it, it's only going to come down harder, and they're going to blame, once again, as we mentioned earlier, they're going to just blame us or blame their spouse for holding them back, and they're going to resent, you know, resent their spouse because they don't really want to be in a, in that kind of a relationship. They don't want to be in a straight relationship, and they're going to be frustrated and angry, and that's only going to cause, you know, cause problems, and it's not going to work.
Well, one of the things that I was very excited about last week, when we had our get-together, I had my state representative, who I think is the most wonderful state rep, come and speak to our group a little bit about, you know, they wanted to ask about different laws. We never quite get the whole point on no-fault divorce, because I think that really is a disgrace to call it no-fault divorce when there's definitely fault involved. And not just with us. I mean, there's other cases of fault, not just with straight wives. So in other words, if a woman's been battered by her husband and she's been beaten up and he's violent and she needs to get a divorce, why is that no fault? Why is it like placing no blame on him? You know, she wouldn't have stayed married. You know, she would have stayed married if he wasn't an abuser. And the same thing here with us. You know, why should this be no fault when we went into a marriage, you know, with feelings and love and compassion and fell in love with somebody, but we didn't have the knowledge to know why it wasn't going to last. Like a lot of people feel, well, if I knew my marriage was going to break up, I wouldn't have gotten married to start with. You know, I got married because I wanted to, you know, be there for the long run. So if it breaks up, it's not because we've done something wrong. It's because our husbands are gay. And they don't want to live with us anymore. They want to have a gay life, which is where they should be with a gay life. But that shouldn't be no fault. I feel they should be responsible for it. So these are some of the things we discussed with him. But what was really exciting to me, and he said he would work with me on this, because I said we really need a day of recognition, straight wife recognition day. You know, we have the gay community getting all of their recognition. They have a whole month, plus a new day in October, coming out day, plus the whole month of June is gay day. Gay month, and that's okay. I mean, they deserve recognition too, but so do we. I mean, until we're recognized as a legitimate group of people who have, you know, really been hurt by this whole thing, then it's never going to come to fruition that we're ever going to feel that we're being treated correctly. So we're going to aim for this. I'm going to write it with him and see if we can get it passed in Pennsylvania through the state legislature, hopefully by next year, to have a Straight Wives Day. And once one state adopts it, it'll be easier for other states to do it as well. So I thought that was exciting because I think we need to do something to validate ourselves, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was trying to refer to earlier when I said that they have the support they need. They have the meetup groups. They have the parades. They have the gay month and all that. And we don't. And it's, I think that's such a wonderful, great suggestion, and I hope it comes together because I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, so where do we, you know, how do we just stand back and they should have some kind of a, you know, support for people like us who have been through this and who, you know, I agree. I think it's a great idea. Great idea. I love it.
So I'm going to try it, you know, I'll take it to the state. I'll, you know, I'll have to go into the state, but I don't mind, you know, to the, you know, Harrisburg and appear before a committee there and present our case. If we can get this approved and, you know, celebrate, you know, our strength, our vibrance, our ability to survive through this, I think that really needs to be celebrated. What do you think?
Absolutely. And in fact, as you mentioned, I mean, no fault, most of the states are no fault. And, you know, like you said, if we were beaten up to some extent, I mean, we were mentally, you know, you know, taking, in my opinion, it was abuse. You know, and, you know, doesn't and that doesn't get recognized in the court system. You know, it doesn't matter. It's just a matter of who can hide their assets and, you know, who does a better job and who's got the better lawyer. And, you know, unfortunately, I was married to a divorce attorney and a judge. So I was doubly, you know, dealing with, you know, the judge and a lawyer. So there was no way in a no-fault state. So there's no way I was going to come out of the divorce with any, you know, with what I really deserve financially. So, you know, I couldn't.
I agree with you.
Yeah, true.
We have to do whatever we have to protect ourselves, to get a network going. And, you know, there's, like, support groups for straight wives. I understand that. You know, you have, you know, whatever they're called. and we have the group that I have, Straight Wives Club. But
right.
there really needs to be somebody actively working on women's rights going through this, or maybe some lawyers who would just specialize in straight gay marriages for divorce.
Right.
So
right.
that, you know, they can have the upper hand. Because,
right.
like, what my state representative said is that in Pennsylvania, even though it is a no-fault, you know, state, when
mm-hmm.
it comes to financial, like, alimony and child support, it can weigh
mm-hmm.
in your favor if you couldn't prove to that somebody was cheating on you, was abusive
mm-hmm.
to you. Even if it's still no fault, it can come out for a better settlement on certain things, which I thought was good to know. You know, but
mm.
even that we have to investigate more state by state. And that's the problem.
Right.
There's one, there's not a national divorce law. Everything is state by state. Every state has its own divorce
right.
laws.
Exactly.
And almost every state now has, well, every state does have no fault. Some of them are still have a choice. Only
right.
about 13
right.
states where you can still have fault divorce.
Right.
But, you know.
Right. And like you said, they have lawyers that represent the LGBTQ community. I mean, my ex
exactly.
went out right away, joined, and he actually, after we got divorced, I read somewhere that he joined this LGBTQ community, that he's a lawyer now representing children in courts, and, you know, the gay couples that have gotten married and have custody issues with their children. I mean, all of a sudden he knows all about this, and it's amazing. You know, he came out of the closet. Now he's an expert on divorce law with the LGBTQ community. We don't have lawyers that support our needs and that help straight women.
No, I'm glad you brought up that point, Megan, because I just want to mention that
yeah.
we have a member of our group who was looking for a divorce. This is a few years ago. And
mm-hmm.
She was going to one lawyer, then to another lawyer she went. And, you know, she had a lot of information, you know, to give the lawyers, that any lawyer who was clear, you know, was too objective, you know, would have taken her side. So
mm-hmm.
she came back from one lawyer one time, and she says, I can't believe it. You know, I told him everything that was going on. And he told me, well, I should try to be a little bit nicer and understand my husband. And I thought, well, that's kind of odd, I think, under these circumstances. So I looked him up, and I looked
mm-hmm.
up his background, and I found he was very active in the, you know, LGBTQIA
mm-hmm.
community, and that he was on the
mm-hmm.
board of a couple of organizations. So I said
mm-hmm.
to her, I told Laura Winman all the time, check out the attorney you're going to before you go there. Because
mm-hmm.
if they are involved in the LGBT community, which is absolutely fine, you know, they need people to defend them. But
mm-hmm.
it's not going to work to your advantage, because I just don't believe
exactly.
they're going to be objective. Do you?
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely good advice. You know, that I don't think they can be objective. That's exactly it, you know. And as I said, in my case, you know, he went through this personally, and right away he goes to join that committee. So he's talking also from personal experience, you know, and he's going to,
uh-huh.
once again, fight for whatever he believes is, the case, just like we fought in court left and right, and we just finally had, I had to give up. I couldn't do it anymore. So I agree with you. You got to really check look into who you're working with and make sure they're looking after your best interests. But the law is the law, and these lawyers, I mean, there's not much they can do in a no-fault state. You know, they're just going to basically just keep charging you. And that's the other point I would suggest is, like, if you could settle as quickly as possible, because there's no reason to be paying legal fees when you don't need to. That's where all the money is
mm-hmm.
going, you know.
So. That's true. A lot of the money does go towards legal fees.
Absolutely.
And everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
it's not a complicated thing. Yeah.
So now at this stage of your life, how are things going? Do you feel like you're moving through this, or
yeah,
you still
I
having
feel like
issues?
No, I really feel like it's been now, 3 years, 4 years since, four years since I kicked him out of the house. I think that in my situation, it's very helpful that my family and myself have moved, you know, I've moved across the country. I have absolutely no connection whatsoever. There is no connection to him, no connection to his family, and I've completely cut all ties. And I feel very fortunate that I was able to do that. And I needed that in order to move forward. And I feel like I'm finally at a point where, you know, I'm doing things that I enjoy doing, and I'm liking my freedom. And I feel like I'm on a, to start healing, and things are going better. And now that the pandemic's over, it's kind of nice to be able to go out and be with people and, you know, maybe start dating a little bit, but we'll see how that turns out. That's it.
Yeah. I want you to, confirm for me, to other women, that healing is a process that just doesn't happen. It's something that really takes its time. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, everyone knows you go through the stages, and the anger stage is still, I'm still angry, and, I'm having a tough time getting through that stage, which, and I know once I get over that stage, things are going to get better. It is a process, and things are going to, set you back, and there's certain memories, and there's a little bit of PTSD, post-traumatic stress, things that hit me. But it's like anything. It's like it's divorce. It's just a process, and I'm grateful that I found out, and I'm grateful that I have my kids and I have my family, and I just feel like, every day I'm just happy to realize that I don't have to deal with this anymore. And, it was a bad, I didn't realize how bad things really were. And now that it's over and I'm done, it's so nice not to have someone scream and yell at you every day and criticize. And it was a terrible time. And I put up with it. I didn't realize how bad it was.
And I think that we just become adjusted to being beaten down enough so that we learn to accept it and we don't fight back because we're too beaten down to fight back. I know that was certainly my story. I was a strong woman going into that marriage, and I was a weak wimp coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only very grateful that he walked out on me thinking I'm going to be desperate to get him back. But that 1 week away from him just gave me the strength I needed to take my life back. And all of these steps take time. Just questioning yourself. I think the biggest issue that we came coming out of that meeting was the issue of trust. How do you trust someone again? How do you trust yourself again not to make the same mistakes? So,
absolutely.
I mean, that's something also really important that you have to, it takes time to rebuild. And I always tell women, I know that you've been sexually starved and emotionally starved for years, but if you jump out there right away without learning where you've gone wrong in your own life, it's never going to work out. You need to take the time like you've done to re-know yourself, to learn yourself again, so that when you do go out there again, you're not going to make the same mistakes with somebody who's straight. I mean, there are a lot of predators out there. They don't have to be gay to be a predator. They can be straight predators.
Right?
But if you don't know that, then you're going to repeat it again. If you don't know the signs, or if you choose to ignore them, right? And you hope that as you get older that you're going to not make the same mistakes, but it's really easy to fall into that trap when you've been love-starved and somebody comes to you to tell you how wonderful you are, right?
Right. No, it's true. It's the trust is definitely something that's going to be the hardest part to rebuild. And like you said, and just to trust yourself and to get yourself confidence back. I think these men have done such a matter of just battering you down and making you feel like, you're just no good. And just getting your self-esteem back is important. And, enjoying your own company. That's something that I never realized. And now, you start to enjoy your free time and your alone time and your own company. It's important.
Absolutely. And you know what? Yeah. You have to learn to love yourself enough to be happy with your own company. Otherwise, you'll just find somebody miserable again and, make the same mistakes.
I
want to thank you so much. I can't believe our time is almost over now. And I really do appreciate you coming back every few months to encourage our women that they can move ahead. And you inspire them by your own story and by your own courage.
Honey.
And hopefully
we'll
talk to you in the spring and you can give us an update. How's that?
Look forward to it. Thanks again.
All right, sweetie. Happy holidays ahead for you.
Same to you. Same to you.
All right.
Take care.
Good night, everybody, and have a good week. Take care. Bye-bye.